Whoa, honey, pause. I think that captain's Tellarite. No, really, go back. Welcome to The Spinal Frontier, a podcast where we speculate as to why Star Trek aliens are the way they are. I'm Kelly, she, her.
And I'm Aaron, they, them.
So, we chose to talk about Tellarites this week. And as we talk about Tellarites, apologies if you hear any construction-y or setting up a television shoot outside of our house e-noises, because that's what's happening this week. That's why our pod's a little delayed. It's hectic outside. All right. This is what we get for moving to Southern California,
right.
I suppose.
We're not the only ones recording today.
No. So, Tellarites are one of many really, really original alien species that are in Star Trek. They're one of the ones that start in TOS. But mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit more about who they are as a people?
Oh yeah. So like as you said, they were introduced in the original series as one of the founding members of the Federation. We don't know a lot about their culture, but we do know that they love arguments and debate, and they view pleasantries or an unwillingness to debate with kind of suspicion, oh, what do you have to hide? Or oh, you don't think you can win this argument, so I'm not going to listen to you. That kind of thing.
Do they all speak in the third person, or is that just Jank and Pog?
I think that's just Jank and Pog.
Oh, Jason Mantzoukas, you're so funny. Okay. Yeah, so they're interesting to look at as well, because it's hard to tell when someone's a Tellarite all the time, because every single Star Trek franchise has done something different mm-hmm. with this species.
Yeah, they've had their own take on the design each time.
Yeah, and I will tell you which one I was very proud of recognizing. Mm-hmm. But let's start from the start. What do we know about them physiologically? We've talked about respiratory pigments already, right? So they have purple blood.
Yes, we do, because of hemocyanin. See, I remembered it. I didn't call it cyanogoblin this time.
Not cyanogoblin this time. I think we speculated that they would have both hemocyanin and hemoglobin, so that would be a mix of blue and red, and that would make their blood purple. I think that's what we thought.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that's what we came down with.
Yeah, because there is no single respiratory pigment that makes your blood purple.
Hemopurplin.
Violet. I guess there is a light purple one, but it's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be. Yeah. They are more comfortable in colder climates.
Mm-hmm. I think they're more comfortable in hotter climates. I think in Enterprise, they mentioned that temperatures that are comfortable for humans are too cold for them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they need warm weather. Okay. Mm-hmm. Generally, they have some characteristics of some kind of boar, wild boars. They're kind of hairy and kind of wrinkly.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Starfleet Medical Journal,
yeah,
they've got these cloven hoof feet, or they have a ruminant stomach and a rennet stomach. So they have not four, but two.
Can you tell me about that?
So ruminants are animals like cows that you think of that have multi-chambered stomachs, that they have this really complicated digestive process where they chew food in their mouth, which is mechanical digestion, breaking stuff down with their teeth, and also introducing saliva for chemical digestion. Then they swallow, and there's some other, because mammals that are adapted to break down a lot of plants,
mm-hmm.
they have to break down a lot of cellulose, which is, it makes the cell walls of plants, and we don't have cell walls, we just have cell membranes as animals. Plants have cell walls for structure because they don't have skeletons like we do,
mm-hmm.
or shells or whatever. So ruminant animals need a special stomach that has special enzymes to help them break down cell walls and break down cellulose. Then generally what happens, which I've never seen with a Tellarite, which could explain what some of their physiology is weird, because it's not a single track. It looks like they have a ruminant stomach and a rennet stomach that kind of parallel each other. Maybe just dump out. I don't know. It's not a complete digestive tract. So right. The best I can get is what they're trying to get at is that they have special multiple stomachs that allow them to chew cud. Basically, okay. they partially digest, put it back into their mouth, chew it up again, and then swallow, which mm-hmm. the cows do. That's not necessarily what boars do, so that's another interesting thing. I don't think that, off the top of my head, I think boars are omnivores, so I don't
Boars will eat anything, other boars.
Yeah, they're omnivores, so I don't
And
think...
I have watched a Tellarite eat a hot dog, so I'm pretty sure they're not... they're not obligate herbivores.
No, so that's my thought. I don't think they're vegan or anything.
When I was a kid, I used to tell my parents, oh, I'm full, I can't eat dinner. But I can eat dessert because I have a separate dessert stomach that's empty.
I think I also have said that before.
That, I wonder if that's pretty common for kids, but I wonder if that's even more common for Tellarites because it's true. You think that's the dessert stomach?
I get maybe it's a vestigial. It's no longer used for... I'm just still annoyed because boars are not ruminant like that. So they're not like chewing cud like that.
We can talk more about the ruminant stomachs when we talk about lurians at some point.
Oh yeah, we've got a whole digestive. Maybe that's next. That probably works because we're talking about digestion today in my class I'm teaching. That was just a coincidence. Anyway, so there's the multi-chamber stomach thing. They also have like abdominal nipples and a curly tail.
Oh, okay.
According to, and these like cloven hoof feet that we can talk about because like hashtag not all Tellarites have cloven hoof feet. They
Oh, their hands aren't even consistent.
Their hands aren't consistent. Mm. That's kind of what drew us to this, is because like it's hard to tell what a Tellarite is based on what you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
So, original series, we said they look like pigmen, and they have three fingers on each hand.
Yes.
Then what? Where do they go?
So then, the next generation just skipped over a lot of species from the original series. They wanted to stand on their own, and so Tellarites were one of those species that they just did not revisit. And neither did Deep Space Nine or Voyager. Enterprise went back, the show, not the ship, went back and reintroduced some of these original series species, and the Tellarites were reintroduced with I would call it an updated design, because it's still very reminiscent of the old TOS costume, but zhuzhed up for the 2000s. But they're missing their three-digit gloves. They just have five-digit hands.
Oh, God.
And so that's, to me, that feels like a really big physiological change.
Oh, that's humongous. That is multiple bones. That is multiple nails. Like, it's very...
Right. People made a big deal out of Klingon ridges, but that's peanuts compared to a hand.
Yeah, the ridges is just, like, flesh-changing, but these Tellarite hands are so... They're just beyond, like, in looking at actual pictures of the Enterprise Tellarite hands, I'm so fascinated because of two different things. One, the thumb, at the very least, if not, like, I can't get a great angle on the other finger. I think the other fingers, like, don't really have nails, or maybe they just have tiny ones on the end, kind of like Kelpian hands do.
Oh, yeah.
But the thumb has this huge cloven thumbnail.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's a vestigial hoof. This cloven thumb is just bizarre to me. And I'm just like, what could that be for? Like, why would they have retained that? And also, why would it be, like, would it be bone? Like, it shouldn't be bone. It should be, like, it would be keratin.
Yeah.
Like a hoof is, or like a fingernail is. So, yeah, I don't know, I can't stop looking at this hand. Because it's between that, the cloven thumb, and then on the back of the hand, it also looks like the thumbnail. But there's just this kind of like, it looks like a seashell kind of hanging out on the back of the hand. And kind of split, so I think it's meant to look like the thumbnail. And I really think it's something like a chestnut. And you grew up in a horse family. Sort of. Tell us what a chestnut is. Sort of.
Would you believe me if I said I don't remember? I fed horses. I turned them out to pasture. I took care of their stables, but I didn't like. I wasn't involved in like horse care.
Yeah.
Aside from like, they're just my friends, the horses.
Your friends, the horses had potentially had little kind of lumps on the insides of their legs particularly on the inside of the front legs, but also they can have them on the back in their like little tiny ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a vestigial foot pad. It's not quite, it's not quite a horn on its own, but it's very like keratinized. And so it's very like,
oh, that's
basically clip it off. You can leave them out on, or you can clip them off. It's just kind of one of those like grooming
I
things.
straight up thought it was like, you know, when you have like a working dog and they're outside a lot and they're laying on the hard ground or sometimes concrete and they get
Calluses.
Calluses on
It's
their
kind of
elbows.
a callus
Oh,
situation,
okay.
but it's not right on a joint. It's not a result of a rub. It's just kind of there
Okay.
because it's kind of up on the limb, up on the leg, and it's just kind of there now, but it doesn't really interact with anything. And so they think, yeah, since the whatever, however the horse evolved, its limb like stretched very long, and so whatever that is whatever used to be apparently a foot pad situation. It gets more sensitive as it gets closer to the skin, so like you can't trim it too close if you're trying to trim it.
Right.
But I think Tellarites have chestnuts on the back of their hands.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's a chestnut versus like a real nail, because it's not really sharp in either direction and it kind of sits flat, and so it doesn't really need to like go anywhere or like hook anything. It doesn't seem to be used for anything functional. So it could be decorative, it could be.
I mean, I imagine getting backhanded by a Tellarite would hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, it's like built-in brass knuckles.
Oh,
Yeah. So, I don't know, just like looking at those hands, that gave me that kind of idea. Is Enterprise new Trek or not? I don't think so. I
I
think it
feel
was
like
before.
the dividing line, I think, in the fandom is the Star Trek 2009 movie. And then anything after that is
New Trek.
doing air quotes new Trek.
Yeah. Okay, so that's I'm gonna suggest we take a bit of a break,
Yeah.
because that's our old Trek
Okay.
Tellarites. And now that we're in the era of New Trek, after the ad break, let's tell the folks how to identify Tellarites in this day and age.
Sounds great.
Okay, so Tellarites got rebooted in Discovery, which means I couldn't tell what they were again.
Yeah, so like Discovery redesigned a lot of species. Like the Klingons are the ones that everybody was a buzz about, and you know, it's kind of a divisive thing. But they also redesigned Andorians a little bit. They gave them more pronounced cheekbones, and they redesigned Tellarites.
Nice
And
work, Neville.
yeah, great job. Looks lovely. But yeah, so they were a little bit hard to identify as Tellarites, though, at least like to us, because we're so used to I think it really is like in Enterprise. I got so used to their big bushy beards, and they don't have those as much in Discovery and onward. They still do have facial hair, like there's some guys with like braids and
Sure.
stuff, but now they've got like more pronounced cheekbones. I think their eyes are like sunken a little bit more, but the big difference to me is now they have some of them have tusks.
Yeah, that's the only way I know how to recognize them. And if you tried to tell me that something was a Tellarite in TOS or Enterprise, I may not believe
Because the tusks are so distinctive, they kind of like overshadow like some of the other traits.
there are like defining features, and we've talked about like the slipperiness of some of the alien design every so often being like a com like that baby had forehead spikes. Like, how is that the same alien? Like, I don't know. I'm used to being able to look for qualities in common, and when I don't have them, I'm like, oh, what's that? And then you tell me it's the same, and then we have to record in a whole nother podcast. I guess it's probably for the best. But I was very proud in Lower Decks, because no grand spoilers here. This is a current season reference, though.
Oh, Lower Decks Tellarites do look a little bit more like Enterprises.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they do, but like they just kind of look like a generic Beast from Beauty and the Beast situation,
Okay, I can see that.
if that's
Yeah.
helpful, because like they've got like the hands, although they're not like they look like
So
normal
in
hands and not
Lower
like the
Decks, they
giant
have
claws.
five digits,
Yeah, they have five
and
digits
in
again.
Discovery, they have five digits. So they've
Yeah.
just kind of had five digits since Enterprise.
Enterprise, I guess. But I noticed that Captain Durango of the USS Merced had these tiny little tusks, and I was like, ah, he's a Tellarite. And you're like,
You
no, he's
noticed, and
not.
I didn't.
You're like, he's not, there's no Tellarite. And I was like, yes, he is. Go back. And I felt very victorious that I found a Tellarite in the wild. I did it.
Great job.
Oh, God. But part of having the Tellarites in Starfleet means that it's hard to see all of their physiology and see if it's changed very much, because like the original Tellarites are like this big belly and these like cloven feet, and so theoretically they should be using the same shoes as the Kelpians. Like
Yeah.
they should be like functionally related. They should be wearing these like crazy cantilever heels. They're not, mm-hmm. as far as I can tell. But we have this great Tellarite character in Prodigy. So we actually get to see like an actual...
So Prodigy is where things get weird.
Well, I posit that it's getting back to where they originally wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So tell us about Jankum Pog.
So in Prodigy, there's a character named Jankum Pog who is a Tellarite. And if that wasn't part of the press release, I don't think I would have...
watched the show?
No.
Oh, no.
I don't think I would have understood. I don't think I would have realized he was a Tellarite.
Oh.
Because he's so different.
Yeah.
Just stylistically from other Tellarites. Like, we've grown used to seeing them with pretty pronounced tusks mm-hmm. and Discovery. And Pog has one snaggle tooth kind of tusk. Mm-hmm. And I think he's missing the other one.
Yeah.
So they're less pronounced.
Yeah.
More like Captain Durango's.
Yeah.
But then, like, his hair, and he's a young character, too, so he doesn't have a beard. But, mm-hmm. You know, like, I get thrown off.
Kind of a mohawk, right?
Yeah, something like that.
He's got a bit of a mohawk.
Yeah,
he's got some wrinkles, too. Oh, it's not missing. He just kind of
has
one big
one. He's got a soul patch. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow, the real 2000s Tellarite.
Oh, my God. Honestly, yeah.
But what trips me out is that he has three digits on each hand. Well, so he has a prosthetic arm that has three digits, mm-hmm. but then his other arm, which is
this biological
organic,
arm,
is
yeah.
the one presumably that he was born with, has three digits on mm-hmm. it.
And he wears a fingerless glove, so I don't know if he has a chestnut.
Yeah, right. Well, we don't know that for sure, but there is a doctor on board the Janeway's ship, the Dauntless.
Mm-hmm. Also on Prodigy, yeah.
Who is also a Tellarite. Who has a big beard, mm-hmm. like I'm used to. He's got pronounced tusks, like Discovery taught me to uh-huh. get to notice. And he has five digits on each hand.
Oh, so I really think that there are hybrids.
Like hybridized with what, though?
Anything that has five digits. I'm kind of wondering if five digits in humanoids is the dominant trait.
Okay.
And so whatever is fusing, because we have, humans have the ability to have fused digits. Like, mm-hmm. I think the most common one is two toes fused together. I've seen, mm-hmm. like, I went to school with kids who had their second and third toes are fused together.
Okay.
And there's no real reason to unfuse them.
Right.
So,
it doesn't.
It,
that would just be an aesthetic choice.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if there is a mutation in, like, Tellarites that makes their fingers stick together.
That would make...
That'd be a
that
recessive gene.
Yeah. Okay.
Which would explain why they, like, they had the mittens in TOS, mm-hmm. but then Enterprise, which predates TOS.
Yes.
So
does Discovery.
So does Discovery. And so they all have five fingers, but mm-hmm. maybe that was a dominant gene or whatever. And maybe we're just seeing two different phenotypes.
Okay. All right. I like that explanation.
And
that sounds very plausible.
So that wouldn't be a hybrid per se, since we know, as mm-hmm. we just said, like having fused digits isn't necessarily a disadvantage. If they can get around with mm-hmm. Fused fingers, then like...
Well, we also know that like species within the Federation do pair off and have offspring. Like mm-hmm. sometimes they need medical assistance because they're...
Oh yeah, we check out our hybrid episode. We talk about it.
Yeah, if like five fingers is the dominant gene, mm-hmm. then maybe that just makes its way into the population that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of curious about, because like, I don't know, I was trying to think back about like what wild boars are like and what they need, because that's kind of what this humanoid is based on. All the early TOS stuff, it has mm-hmm. some sort of like real animal associated with it. Wild boars are native across Eurasia, so like they're from Europe, but they also live in China and India and all.
They're very invasive, so
incredibly
in a
invasive.
Place they're
yeah
there now.
They got introduced to North America mm-hmm. and to Australia
and Japan,
so they got brought places, and they're just horrifically destructive, but usually it's with their tusks. Mm-hmm. So they're digging with their face, and like Tellarites are clearly not doing that. Maybe they're just going ham with their going ham
oh my gosh
with that one thumb, just like the k- 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 They're just tearing stuff up. I don't know.
I mean, if
could
so,
be great for peeling oranges.
Yeah, I mean, you've taught me that if there's a trait present in a population that has been there for a long time and doesn't serve like a practical purpose, then it's probably for mating.
Yeah, or so, yeah, some like sort of ornamental thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to think of like, are there any Tellarite adaptations that seem to be for a reason? And none of them seem to be because the most distinctive one is probably the hands and the hands change. So I don't know. And I mean, if there's two different phenotypes, like, so if there's the three finger phenotype and the five finger phenotype that both persist in the species, it must mean that there's some advantage in some situation that continues to pass it on. So like, yeah, I don't.
Or at least no disadvantage.
Yeah. Because disadvantage would mean that they die before they're able to reproduce. So, yeah, I guess, like, as with most other Trek redesigns or, like, changes over time, they end up explaining themselves somehow. But people just aren't talking about, like Tellarites as much as the other redesigns, like you were saying before.
Right, yeah. So like when the Klingons were redesigned for Discovery, there was so much buzz about it.
Oh yeah.
Some people were very angry, so and that through line in a fandom community can make it seem like everybody is talking about this thing, right? But I've seen very little talk about the redesigns for the Andorians and the Tellarites. I think just because we're not as used to seeing them on screen,
or maybe because we do, but we don't recognize them. They're not visually similar enough.
Andorians are pretty distinct, but that's another episode.
We will do your Andorian episode someday. Right, I feel someday. Like we've done it like three times in the context.
They're just so interesting
and
strange.
I know.
So like, well, the other thing is that like Klingons have a Worf, they have Martok, they have Gowron, they have named characters that you remember and like. The Andorians had like Shran, who Jeffrey Combs is awesome.
Well, and we had from Discovery.
Oh yes, Wren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was cool. Until Jankum Pog, though, we didn't have any Tellarites that were named that we saw more than one episode.
True.
Of, and it's hard to develop, I think, for a fan community to develop that affection for a species if you don't have characters that you like.
Sure.
But we're seeing more Tellarites since Discovery brought them in. They've been in Strange New Worlds. Mm-hmm. They've been, and they're of course in Prodigy and Lower Decks. So I think there's a lot more opportunity for us to learn more about who these guys are.
Yeah, so yeah. We're now in our Tellarite era.
Yeah, we're in our Tellarite era.
Okay, I think that's probably it for this week. We gotta give the people what they want, which is the Tellarites.
If you like The Spinal Frontier, we would be so grateful if you shared your favorite episode with your nerdy friends and family. We also want to hear from you. What have you always wondered? What do you want to hear more about? We always look forward to hearing from you.
As a note, we've officially left Twitter because, you know, you can always reach us at Spinal Frontier Pod on Instagram, which I swear we're going to make better use of, so you can share us with your favorite people. Thanks so much. Okay, honey, you can press play.
Nice. I think that was a good episode.